while they're leaving, if you'll open your Bibles to Mark chapter 2, that's where we're going to be this morning as we look into the scriptures. Did you have a good Christmas? Good. We had a good Christmas too. Harper had the flu. Anyway. So let's talk about this. This is the last one of the year. You guys pumped? Amen. Let's go home. You guys are clearly ready for today. Okay, look, today's the last one of the decade. We've gone through a lot of stuff over the year. You've done a lot of stuff over the past year. Think about your year for a second. There's probably some things in your year that you are like, man, I killed that. I just killed it. It was amazing. I got baptized. I got saved. Great things happened. Man, my business was skyrocketing. My family, my relationship, it was fantastic. And then there were probably some things that you were like, whew, that didn't go according to plan. That was actually miserable. Anybody with me on that deal? Like, you had some really, really good ones, and then you might have had some just kind of not so good ones, and then you had some really, really bad ones. Anybody have some really bad ones? Anybody? Yeah, there's all kinds of things that probably going, but, you know, what were those things like when you look back on it? What was it that happened? Were there days that you questioned your sanity? That's every day, John. I question my gut kids. Question my sanity, for crying out loud. Taking care of my parents. I question my sanity every day. It's funny how that happens. You take care of your kids, and then your parents get older, then you start taking care of your parents, and it's almost like you were, like, does anybody understand? Like, the people that are nodding are the people who are taking care of their parents. Like, yes, I understand completely, right? Were there moments that you questioned, like, why are these things happening to me? Were there moments where you questioned just in general, like, what in the world is going on? Were there moments where things just went chaotic for you? Were moments where you're like, I don't understand what's happening here? You know, in moments that you just want to be like, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to be here again. There are probably some of those moments. And there are probably some of those moments that you're like, man, I love this. I just love this so much, and I don't want this time to end. I don't want this moment to end. I don't want this to move from where I am. I can imagine that your year has just been so full of things. And so this morning in our sermon, I want to kind of take a little lighthearted approach to a passage of Scripture that you're very, very familiar with, or may be familiar with. If you're not, that's okay. You'll become familiar with it today as we walk through this passage. So we're going to read together Mark chapter 2. So if you'll just follow along in your Bible, I'm reading from the ESV version, and we'll go from there. So Mark chapter 2. And when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, they said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know what the Son of Man has, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed, and he went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this. We have never seen anything like this." And so just a little bit of context for you, you got to understand kind of what's going on here. Jesus is just cleansed a leper, right? Just before this, Jesus has gone through this huge healing. He says, hey, I want to cleanse this guy, but don't go tell anybody anything because it's early in his ministry. And all of a sudden, he goes out and he starts telling people all of this stuff about how he got cleansed. And this is what Jesus did for me. And this is what he's doing, blah, 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 blah. And all this stuff. And now all of a sudden, Jesus comes back. And there's mobs of people everywhere because they want to be healed as well. They want to be cleansed as well. They want to do whatever as well. Does that make sense? And so Jesus is kind of skirting around town, trying to keep it on the DL, right? Well, it doesn't really happen that way. Jesus doesn't really get to go places anymore without people knowing who he is. And I mean, even here, it says the passage says, went to Capernaum some days, it was reported that he was at home. So he goes to this place, you know, and all of a sudden I can't imagine how many people were there, but it was enough that it was so crowded that everybody wouldn't fit in the door. So let's look at this passage of scripture in real time. Y'all want to? Y'all want to have a little lighthearted moment real quick? Let's look at this in real time. Here we are, four guys from Mississippi. We love our friend. Our friend is paralyzed. We want to get him to Jesus. And we're going to do anything in our ability, right? So we got four dudes that carry this paralyzed guy to see Jesus. Because they believed that Jesus would heal him. Y'all with me on that? They truly believed if we get this man to Jesus, he's going to heal him. He's going to heal him. That's how faithful they were, right? So these men, boom, they were good. Paralyzed guy laying on a mat, right? So they show up to the place and it is packed full of people, right? So much so that they can't even squeeze through the door to get to Jesus. They can't get inside. You ever been to that kind of party? You ever been to that kind of place where you're just like, hey, there's too many people here? Well, when Jesus shows up, you can imagine when people are actually getting healed and things are actually happening, people want to be around that kind of thing. So we got this one guy, Mark, who's like, hey, I got an idea. And the other three look at him and go, no. The last time you gave us an idea, we almost died, okay? No way am I sitting here listening to your idea. Okay, what is it, right? So we got this moment. These guys are like, okay. One of them's like, no, seriously, I got this great idea. Okay, tell us what your idea is. Here we go. Thanks, Mark. Tell us. We rip open the roof. Yeah. And all three of them are like, rip open the roof, and then we lower him down through the roof to see Jesus. This is a great idea. And that, you know, they're all like, oh my, there is no way this is happening. There is no way that we're going to do this. Absolutely not. I cannot have this happen, right? You guys have somebody like this in your life? You got somebody in your, you know what I'm talking about, who comes up with the best ideas? Do y'all have that friend? I got a great idea. And when they say those phrases, you're kind of like, not so sure that's the great idea that I wanted and that I was looking for. But these guys, they were ready. They were ready for their friend, right? So they look at him, and it's like, look, all we got is a sketchy rope, right? We got this sketchy rope that you picked up on the side of the road when we were walking over here, all right? Probably some donkey's rope or something that fell apart, right? And this mat, that's all we have. And you want to lower him through? Yes. Okay, let's try it. But look, if we do this, y'all better pull your weight. Okay, you imagine these four guys, okay? They climb up on top of the roof. They're trying not to fall off the roof, A. B, they're trying not to fall into the hole that they just opened up into the thing. And then C, they're lowering their friend down on a mat. Come on, seriously? Think about that for a minute. Mark, Jimmy, I don't know, I'm just making up names. That's, the Bible doesn't really give anybody's names there. But you can imagine that scene for a minute. Jesus is preaching. Hole gets ripped open. That's a big enough scene already. Right? Hey, we'll rip this roof off this deal. We're gonna, okay. You know, Jesus says, and the Lord said, you know, and all of a sudden stuff just starts falling in, you know, here comes the sunlight, you know, the crowd, the mob of people are all there just like, ah, what's happening here? You know, and all this crazy stuff's going down. Right, you got the guys, and here they are. They're going to start lowering this man into the thing, you know. And Jesus is like, what is going on? What's going on here? You know, imagine this moment. I mean, just a crazy scene. And then you got these four guys up on the top holding the rope, okay? Again, it's a man, a paralyzed man. I don't know how big he was, but let's just say he's 175 pounds of dead weight laying on a mat. That's pretty, that's a big deal. I mean, maybe you just walk around hoisting 175 pounds on your own, but these four guys are trying to lower him down at the same time without making him spill out of that mat onto the floor in front of Jesus. Didn't feel a thing. Let's go. Y'all with me? So you got one guy's like, come on, Mark, you're going to let him go. Jimmy, a little lower, a little lower. We're losing him. We're losing him. Come on. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's this moment of just like, oh, my, I can imagine that this is like insanity for these guys and for Jesus and for the crowd. And we read scriptures and we all just go, that was just such a spiritual moment. This is probably one of the craziest moments is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Is everybody with me on that deal? There is no way that there could not be chaos in the middle of this moment, right? And these dudes are lowering these guys down, right? And it's just a humongous commotion. And here's what happens. So this huge commotion's going on, and Jesus looks up in verse 5 and he says, son, your sins are forgiven. And you know Jimmy. Jesus, we wanted you to heal him, not forgive him. I mean, we appreciate the forgiveness, but we really want you to heal. He's paralyzed. He's paralyzed. I mean, you can imagine these guys, you know. I mean, like, just their, you know what I'm saying? I mean, these are dudes. These aren't like, you know, these spiritual people that are like, they're thinking, hey, I'm going to get my friend to Jesus. We're going to cut a hole in the roof. Again, these are four guys from Mississippi. You know they are. We could say Kentucky, but I was trying to play fair, okay? Probably UK fans. But anyway, so he's like, you know, probably getting these guys down. And all this craziness is going, and Jesus is like, hey, your sins are forgiven. And that's an incredible moment, right? Let's not pass it up. But seriously, there's probably a moment where that guy's like, what? You got that friend. You know. You know that friend. Like, you know, you got a friend who's like, I mean, this is the best news that this guy's heard. Your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Right? You're like, yeah. And all of a sudden, the other guy, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. You guys know that person. You have that friend. Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. Mm-hmm. Could you not have done this instead? Could we have had this instead? You know, and all this, and they don't understand completely, right? And so then you got, you know, Mark's like, come on, man, this is Jesus you're talking to, for crying out loud. He just healed this guy. He's going to heal him. It's going to work out. It's going to be fine. You got that friend too, right? Everything's going to be fine. Just calm down. It's going to be okay. Worst things you can say to people who are not calm is what? Just calm down. Oh. I mean, it's like sparks something inside your soul that you want to throat punch them immediately. Just calm down. Poof. How's that for calm? You can't breathe. So anyway, so we have this. We have this crazy story, and all this stuff is kind of going down. But, you know, the truth is that Jesus is going to be glorified, right? Jesus is going to be honored in this moment. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. And see, what happens is, there's crazy moments in our lives, and there's crazy moments that happen to you all the time, but God has ordained all of them. He knew and knows all those things over your past year that has happened to you. He knew exactly what was going to happen in this moment. He knew exactly when that roof was going to get ripped open. He knew exactly what was going to happen to that paralyzed man because of the faith of those four men who said, hey, let's rip a hole in this roof, and we're going to lower him down there. Yeah, good idea. You know, and Jesus steps into the scene, right? And he does what he does. And sometimes looking back on your life, maybe you had some good moments. Maybe you had some bad moments. Maybe you just had some moments that were just kind of okay. But either way, God knew exactly what they were. And as you look back, hindsight is 20/20. You knew exactly what was supposed to happen. You know exactly why things happened the way that they did. Even though at the moment you didn't understand why things were going the way that they were going. And all of these people in this scene were in the same situation. Why is this happening? What's going on? Because Jesus already knew.
And hindsight, looking back, boom, it's 2020. See, we can't change the past, right? We can't do anything about those things that are gone, but we can, moving forward and looking forward to a new year, a new decade, to see what Jesus is going to do, right? So there's a whole lot of stuff that happens in this passage. We could spend probably a month just here in this passage. It's a good sermon series. But you know, the truth is, following Jesus, it's a little risky. Let's just be honest, it's risky. Completely. You're talking about serving a man and giving your entire life to him based on your faith and belief in the scriptures. Now, I believe the word of God is 100% true, and I believe that it is inerrant, and I believe that it is alive and living and active. But you do have to take a second to go, oh, this is risky. Because what if you die and it's not true? We'll get back to that. But things could go really wrong, right? Things can go really wrong in your life. You've had really, really, really bad things happen to you before, right? Even though you're a believer, you trust in Jesus. You know that he loves you. You know that you love him. But things still go wrong for your life. Yes or no? Absolutely. Yes or no? Okay, just wait, making sure everybody's here still. There's not very many people. It's raining. It's cloudy outside. I get it. You're tired. Okay, but we got to move it. So look, Jesus will take control. Verse 5, right? That's what he does. He steps in. Your sins are forgiven. Wait, what? He all of a sudden, out of nowhere, takes control of a situation. Y'all been there before? You've had something going down? And Jesus automatically says, hey, I got you. He forgives. He heals. Right? I mean, these are major things that happened in this passage of scripture right here. But in your own life and in your own situations, do you question those things? Well, what is he going to do for me? Anybody? What's he going to do for me? How is he going to get me out of this situation? How's he going to fix what I just messed up? Because if you would do what he wanted you to do, you wouldn't be in a messed up situation, right? See, because you get in a messed up situation because you try to take control of your own life. Let's just call it what it is. We get up in completely mixed up situations and messed up, and everything is just turns terrible because we try to take control and not do what God calls us to do. Even though you know what God's calling you to do, you choose to go the other direction. That's called disobedience. Okay, I'll say that again. That's called disobedience. Even as an adult, you can be disobedient. We are teaching Harper. She's 4. We're teaching her how to be obedient. She's in this season of life where it's just kind of troubled water of learning the word no. Go clean your room. No. Go pick your room. No. The wooden spoon will come after you. Yes, that's right. The wooden spoon. We're not mixing up cakes over here, okay? Needs to be more of this going around. Let's go. Bring it back. But we're teaching her how to be obedient, how to be disobedient. When we're disobedient, there's consequences for our disobedience. And it's funny because as adults, we like to whine and complain when we're disobedient. And then we like to whine and complain about the situation that we've put ourselves in, even though it's a consequence that you have created for yourself. And you teach your children that. But yet, as an adult, you seem to throw that out. Well, Jesus, it's a little bit different. That's for them, not for me. It's absolutely for you and for your walk with the Lord. Obedience, obey God, be blessed. Disobey God, be cursed. It's a Deuteronomic principle. It happens all through the Old Testament, over and over and over and over again, right? And so we walk down this road, and how is he going to get me out of this deal? What's he going to do to fix my situation? What is your expectation of what he's going to do? Well, it doesn't matter. He doesn't love me anyway. Wait, what? How did you make that leap? You've heard people say that before? Well, he doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about you? All this bad stuff wouldn't be happening in my life if he cared about me. Is that true? That's not true at all. That's the furthest thing from the truth. The Bible also speaks to that. It says, don't trade the truth for a lie, because Satan wants you to believe that. He wants you to believe that Jesus doesn't care for you. He wants you to believe that Jesus is going to leave you out on an island by yourself and say, all right, fix it yourself. That's not true. And so we have these moments, right? But the question is, do you believe that he can get you out of that situation? Do you believe that he can fix the situation? Do you believe in the true Jesus Christ? Or do you just say that? Do you have faith that you're going to lower a man through the roof because you know that Jesus is going to heal him? Do you have faith that's going to be able to rip a roof off of a building? And I hope that you do. See, one of the coolest parts of this passage happens in verses 6 through 12. So the story about the guys dropping the man through the roof, I mean, that's a good deal, especially when Jesus says, hey, your sins are forgiven because of the faith of that man. But let's look at the real action that's about to take place. Verses 6 through 12 says this. Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts. Please, please pay attention to what he's saying. Why does this man speak like that? He's a blasphemer. Who can forgive sins but God alone? This is not an audible conversation. This is something that they were thinking. It is not something that was spoken. And please, and immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they questioned within themselves, he said, why do you question the things that are in your hearts? He heard their evil thoughts. He heard them talking bad about him. He knew immediately what was happening. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up, take your bed, and walk? Because see, here's the deal. There was a lot of talk going around because the scribes and the Pharisees, they do a lot of talking, like, you know, oh, yeah, yeah, you're forgiven. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're forgiven. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're forgiven. It's easy to say that you're forgiven because that's not seen. And that's the point Jesus is making. Or rise, take up your mat, and walk. Which one's easier? And so the scribes are like, oh, you're challenging us. So there's this chaotic moment. There's this stressful moment that's kind of taking place, right? This is really risky for Jesus in this moment. Again, these are the scribes and Pharisees. These are the people who are in charge. These are the people who have a lot of power. And for him to say, hey, you're blaspheming. That was, you know, you could die for that kind of thing. And so for them to say that, hey, you're blaspheming, right? And see, the cool thing about Jesus is that he knows exactly what we've been through because he's experienced every emotion that you've gone through. He's experienced every feeling that you've ever experienced. And this is just another moment of that. Like, I know what it's like to take a risk. I understand this. So he says to the guys, all right, but that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, right? So it's like, look, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. I'm going to get glory from this moment. I'm going to get more glory for that. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose immediately. Now, let's talk about just biologically. We have a chiropractor, a physical therapist, they're sitting right here. Biologically, there's a nurse over here. Biologically, that's almost impossible for a person who's been paralyzed to just all of a sudden immediately stand up and get on out. The muscles aren't there. There's all kinds of things. You know, have you ever seen somebody who's lost a limb? They have to go through physical therapy and physical training, all this kind of stuff to relearn how to walk and do these things. This guy was paralyzed, and immediately Jesus says, hey, get up and walk, take your mat, go. And then boom, up, out, gone. Right? That's crazy in itself that you're watching this miracle, right? Hey, he was forgiven. Now he's going to get up and walk, right? And so the scribes are sitting in this moment like, hey, this is a chaotic moment. This is risky for everybody in the business here. Risky business, right? Some of you will get that later. And see, this is all in front of the scribes, and this is all in front of those people because, you know, Jesus, again, he read their thoughts. He read what they were saying, and nobody else in the room understands. Everybody else in the room is like, what's he talking about? And the scribes knew immediately what he was talking about because that was what they were thinking. Ah, he can read my thoughts. Who is this? What is this sorcery that we speak of? Right? Or something like that. You know, these guys are freaking out. And it's really tense. And what happens if Jesus says, hey, rise, take up your mat, and walk? And he didn't. Well, then what's Jesus going to do? Well, then he looks like an idiot. Then he looks stupid. But he did. The guy got up and he walked out because Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew, even though no one else knew what was going down, Jesus knew what was going to happen because Jesus knew the power that he was fixing to bring down, right? He's like, okay, the power that I got, you don't know nothing about, right? Boom, get up and walk. And boom, here I am, let's go. And he takes off running and leaping and having a great time, right? See, the truth is that the guy did get up and walk away because what Jesus says is true. And what Jesus does will always follow through. Everything that he says, it will always follow through. There's never a moment in your life where you should doubt the Lord because what he says will be. And what he does will be. Because his offers, they don't return void. Although, the offers of sin will always return void. It will never give what it promises. And see, the truth is that this moment right here was so that he could get honor and glory for everything that happens. And so as we close our time together, I want to challenge you, moving into this new year, you know, you hear all these New Year's things, right? Like, oh, what's your word for 2020? You know, like, you're like, yeah, my word is shut up. Or whatever, like, I don't know, like, anybody got a word? Anybody got a word? Like, I do that, John, seriously. My word is optimism, you know, or whatever, you know. But there's all kinds of, like, New Year's things, right? Like, oh, yeah, if it's white, it's not right. We're going on a diet. They say that, you know, New Year's is, like, the best, like, Planet Fitness loves New Year's. Because everybody wants to make the commitment, you know, I'm going to lose the weight, baby. You know, and they never do. Okay, they lose it for a month and they gain twice back, whatever you want to say. So let's just think for a minute, the new year, moving into 2020, what are some things that we can take from this passage that we can challenge our walk with the Lord? And number one for me would be that you would allow God to work through you. That you'd allow God to work through you and that you would take the moments that he challenges you and do them. Because if those guys, those four guys, didn't believe, they would have never started and never done what they were going to do. They would have never lowered the guy down and they would have never believed. But because they believed, because they had faith, his sins are forgiven. Think about that for just a minute. Do you have that type of faith in the Lord? That you believe in him so much that if you just get somebody here, he will save them. If that was the case, this place would not be able to fit another person in it. Oh, John, I truly do believe. I do. But do you have this kind of faith that you will do anything it takes to get your lost friend here? That you would rip a roof off a building and lower them down? As dangerous as that sounds. That you live your life with faith that others can see through you. Because that's how this man was forgiven, right? Jesus saw the faith of the other men. Is that the faith that you have to live? That people know who you believe in and why you believe in him so much so that they will come to know him in faith. See, the other thing is, let Jesus do his thing. Get out of the way. See, because what happened was they lowered the man down in there and they got out of the way. You don't hear about these guys anymore, right? Probably because they're stuck up on the roof. Hey, what about us? Are we good? Okay. No, but I mean, you get out of the way. How many times in your life have you gotten in the way of what Jesus was trying to do? We could start listing them off just over and over and over and over again. And so the challenge is that you would get out of the way. And the last thing is this. And the worship team's going to come and we're going to celebrate together. We're going to sing a song. And the last challenge is this. So y'all, come on, worship team, come on. The last challenge is this. And some of you need to hear this. Let Jesus forgive you. Let Jesus forgive you. And let Jesus heal you. See, because the first thing is he was forgiven. And the last thing is he was healed. See, there's a moment in your life where you've got to stop playing the victim and you've got to stop harboring all of this stuff and allow Jesus to take it away. Because he's ready to do those things. He's ready to forgive you. There's nothing that you have done in your life that is beyond him and beyond his love and beyond his forgiveness. Doesn't matter how bad you think you are or how bad you think you were, Jesus is ready to forgive you regardless of what you've done. And he's ready to heal you. So it's one thing to be forgiven. It's another thing to heal you. The Bible says that he takes that, it starts as far as the east is from the west, that you will never see that again. And so as we move into 2020, as we move into this new year, our prayer is that you would allow God to work inside of you. So if you're in this place and you need to be forgiven, if you need to be forgiven of your sins, if you're not a believer and you're in this place, then we challenge you, come to Jesus. Truly give your heart to him. Repent of your sins. Call on the name of the Lord as your Savior, and you will be saved. But then maybe there's some people in this room that you need to forgive yourself. You feel like you've got these things that you just have to hold on to, and that's just not the truth. You don't need to take that baggage into tomorrow. Drop your luggage at the feet of Jesus at the cross, because he wants to love you. He wants to give you everything that you need, and he will bring the healing. The healing will not come through family. The healing will not come through service. The healing will not come through buying things. The healing will not come through addictions. The healing will only come through Jesus. And it will only come if you allow him to heal you. If someone's hurt you, let Jesus heal you. If you've gone through a torrential year, it was a terrible year, let Jesus heal you. Because he wants to. And he loves you. And we're going to make 2020 the best year ever. Not because of us, but because of him and the way that he moves and heals and forgives so that he gets the glory. Let's pray. Father, you are an amazing God, and we love you for who you are. Father, we pray, God, that you would forgive us. That you would forgive us for the times that we doubt you, the times that we fail you, the times that we don't care, the times where we just don't do anything. Father, we pray that you would bring forgiveness to this place. Father, the person in the room that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, Lord, we pray that you would call them. God, we pray that they would move, that there would be a stirring, that they would accept you as their Savior. But Father, we pray for the believer in the room that's been hurt. Father, we pray forgiveness in their life. And Father, we pray that they move forward so that you can receive glory. Father, we pray that you would heal hurt hearts in this room. As we look forward to a new year, Father, we pray that you would receive glory and that you would receive honor. And we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.